We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Till the 68 till I die.
I'm sorry, man. I feel left out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands grow up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
Welcome to the Thursday evening edition of the Field of 68 After Dark. We are live from Madison Square Garden roster. I got Randolph Childress with me, and I got the Big East legend himself, Terrell McNeil, who was honored here in the second half for being a legend at Marquette. I didn't know you were all-conference all 4 years. They really hyped you up there just a little bit.
It was a very nice intro, wasn't it?
We got one of your former teammates over here. Go over here, Dwight. You got to help us out here. Yeah, come on. You got to help us out here.
Because
one of the things
Did you write that?
Yeah, he wrote.
You wrote that?
I didn't. I wish I could make myself sound that good. I wish I could.
So we have a lot to talk about today. It was a wild day of college basketball. We had action on the bubble. We had action in the Big Ten. We had action in the Big 12. The Mountain West is still going on right now. You know, guys know how much I love the Mountain West. But the center of the action was right here in Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament at Marquette. Ended the night with one of the best Big East tournament games that I've been to, 71-65 in overtime. We all thought we got a buzzer beater out of it, right? We all thought we got a buzzer beater. Cam Jones came off of a little back screen over here. Osa Iguodala hits him with a little bounce pass, and it looks like he got it off. Everybody goes nuts. Then we go to the review, and we stand here for about 5 minutes, and finally they ruled it, saying that it did not come off his fingertips in time. Jarrell, you got the win, though. 71-65. Talk to me about your Golden Eagles. Talk to me about what just happened here.
Man, what a way to end the night here in the Madison Square Garden in the world's most famous arena. Like you said, it was just an awesome ending. First off, I'll say major shout out to Shaka. The end of game play calling was impressive. I liked the long pass down court and then using that last time out. And then just, you know, kind of like the blast action that they ran at the end, getting that last look for Cam was a really good draw up. And he was able to look like he got it off his hand in time. You know what bothers me, though, is why do they cut off the replay in the arena?
Exactly. Why? They didn't need you yelling.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was all in at that point over there. So I'm just glad no cameras or anything caught me. But, man, what a way to end the night. Just another gutsy performance from the guys. I thought Joplin was huge in the overtime. Cam continues to – and it's a revenge tour because there's no way in hell you could tell me that kid doesn't make any all-conference team.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. Dwight, one of the reasons why they don't put the replays on the big scoreboard is because – crazy Marquette fans like Jarrell over here. I got a couple of videos of him watching the game, reacting to the game. First and foremost, was it kind of annoying sitting next to him, having to watch this game with him going crazy like that? Or are you used to it by now?
Nah, I'm used to it. You know, we always bring that fire when it comes to watching our club go out there and compete. So, you know, one of the biggest stages in college basketball is the Big East tournament. So, it's just the right time, right place for us to turn up a little bit, you know, in the city.
So they just turned the lights out on us here on the court. We'll see if they come back on. We'll see if we can fix the video here in a second. But RC, Marquette getting this win. What does it say to you about this group, this team, these players, that they can come out here and do this when they don't have their leader?
They're missing their All-American. They're missing their All-American. They're missing their leader. And for them to come out and just continue to win and not miss a beat is impressive. I mean, I don't know how do you not be impressed with this team. You knew they fight. You knew they compete. You wondered where the scoring would come from. I think at moments we've seen Cam Jones put his team on his back and carry him, and he was big tonight. But just other guys stepping up, chopping in overtime, just everybody having their moments. You saw me talking with Igudoro saying, hey, make him a score, make him a score. And he hits the winning basket to clinch the game. So big props to Marquette, man. They just figure out ways, and that's just what you expect from a Shaka Smart team.
Absolutely, and I think RC is spot on. Oso struggled tonight. I think he had a 2 points lead going into the last
dynasty.
And how about the confidence in Shaka, though? Because that was a play design, you know, a little misdirection, some fake handoffs. Like, that play was drawn up for him to try to go at Dixon one-on-one. And he was able to get a big one to go in late for him, too, man. So just a gutsy performance overall, man. This team is so fun to watch. And I saw Tyler Kolick with ankle socks on. So
he wanted to be out there.
I think that was a good sign. Yeah. I think he had on no shows tonight on the bench. I think it was a good sign for possibly tomorrow.
How bad did he want to be out there? You could tell.
I mean, in this time of year, you never want to be off on the side of the floor while your team's out there competing. So I think he probably itching. You know, I guess we see what it looks like the rest of the tournament if he decides to make a little showing before we get to the big tournament, you know. So looking forward to seeing if he gets back out there. But they're a very gutsy performance by the team tonight.
What do you guys think of Shaka and what he's done for this program over the course of like the last, what has it been here, 3 years now, four years?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak enough to it. Just even as a fan and at times being an alum, you feel a little bit too connected to the program, you feel that way sometimes. Like, you know, I might be a little bit too connected. But it's been fun, man, just seeing him reignite, the basketball program, the fan base. And you know, college basketball is such a special thing, man. Well, fit is everything. I don't think there is a better fit right now, man. And it's just been fun to watch, man. He's been great with all us former players. He reached out to us right away after he got the job and just started building those bridges and, just making those connections with us, man. So, I love being around him. I love watching those guys play. And it's just, you know, it's fun to follow and watch. And, it makes you proud as a former Golden Eagle, too. So.
Yeah, for sure. I love Shaka. You know, I've loved him back since when he was, you know, way, way earlier before Texas at VCU, you know, at those days when he was grinding and coming up. So when we hired him here, you know, after the lulls, you know, with the last coaching staff and everything, I think that it was the right person to put in the place to kind of ignite that passion. You know, he's from the city of Milwaukee, too, so that's definitely helped from him having a little bit.
Madison.
Yeah. Sorry. From the state, Wisconsin. You know, so Wisconsin guy, so he kind of has that, you know, ties to the state and kind of knows a little bit about the history. So I think that, you know, with him stepping in the way he has, it's just sky's the limit with the program from here going forward. And we're excited to see what they can do this year.
All right, let's flip it. Let's talk about the Villanova angle of this. They pretty much had to get this win to be able to be in. The last time that there was a 15-loss team that got an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, RC, was 2019. It was Florida. They were 19-15. Can this Villanova team get in? Was this the end of it?
I think this is it. I don't think they had enough. If to be 19-15, I think the conference, if this was the Big East from last year, I think that might be enough for them to get in. I think, in fairness to say, the conference is – it was – UConn and kind of everyone else. Yeah, it's really top heavy. And UConn, Creighton, Marquette, it just did a little drop off there. And if this was the same conference a year ago, again, I think they're in. But no, I you know, you got Providence fighting to make sure that they're in it.
I
just don't see it.
You go 18-15, you're not a tournament team.
No.
You lose 15. Winning, at the end of the day, winning's got to matter at some point, right?
Absolutely, and they've had their chances. They started off well, and they had some quality wins.
Did. But,
you know, they weren't able to put it all together down the stretch. And I think, if nothing else, I think tonight was a must win for those guys, especially after that performance last night. I don't think that helps having to take it down to the wire and beat 0-20 in the Big East DePaul team.
But you know, when Villanova lost to Rob, is when they lost this before the Big East tournament started.
Yeah.
Those losses now, and you look back on them. Yeah.
Well, if you beat Penn, you beat Drexel, you beat St. Joe's, it's an entirely
totally different story. Yeah, now you're 22-12. It's a totally different conversation. Mm-hmm. We're not even having this conversation if you just win your games you're supposed to win at home, you know, versus your Philly teams. And they didn't take care of business then. And when you dig yourself a hole, you got to dig yourself out of it and finish top four. So you can't just, you know, finish in the middle of the pack and hope that you're, you know, that just playing in the league is going to get you over the hump. It didn't. They lost this before Big East even started. They just weren't able to climb out the hole.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about Kyle Neptune at a different day. We have too much to get to that happened in the actual sport over the course of tonight. I want to talk about Providence because we talk about bubble teams finding a way to go out and get it done. Providence went out and got the win. They got it done. They beat Creighton in a game that they needed to win. Jaden Pierre was fantastic down the stretch.
Clutch.
Devin Carter did Devin Carter things. He looked like he was gassed with about 12 minutes left, but made a couple big plays down the stretch. Talk to me about Providence. Like, how impressed were you with what this group did?
I've been impressed with them all year, man. Just the resiliency that they've shown, you know, really since the Bryce Hopkins injury, man. And, you know, it's been a lot of talk about Devin Carter winning player of the year and them finishing, what, seventh in the conference, I think. A lot of people may or may not agree with that, but if you've watched that kid play, and it's just as far as a talent standpoint, even a production standpoint, but beyond that, what he means to that team, if that guy's suiting up in their uniform every night, Providence has a chance. You know what I mean? Without him, they don't have a chance. That guy's on the floor and he's active and he's playing, they have a chance, man. And, you know, tonight was another typical kind of Providence game. It was a gutted out victory. I don't think either one of the teams shot it great. It's physical. All the games have kind of been like that, the Big East. But major shout out to my guy too, one of my kids, Rich Barron, man. He played some really big minutes tonight.
He's a big shot.
Richie was playing some ball tonight. I got a chance to see his mom and dad backstage, so I didn't get a chance to catch up on him. But he's still playing, so I'm gonna catch him before he gets out of here. But man, super proud of him stepping in, playing some pivotal minutes. It's probably his first time, I'm pretty sure, playing in the Garden. He was big for him too down the stretch. He made some clutch buckets.
Well, he did play last night. This was the
second game.
Providence,
I'm sorry.
Was seventh. They weren't like Marquette.
Everybody doesn't
get
a bye. Excuse me.
Didn't get that
Some
bye.
People have to play on the first night. I apologize. So it's the second time playing in the Garden.
Listen, I made that mistake too when I was talking to Kim English. We caught up with the Providence head coach after the game, and it was a fun interview. Our cameraman, Randolph Childress, maybe wasn't the best, but it is what it is.
Hey, I did what I was told.
Now let me welcome onto the field of 68 after dark, Kim English, head coach of the Providence Friars, fresh off of your second Big East tournament.
Yeah.
First Big East semifinal coming up. How you feeling right now, man?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see this place Friday night. I've grown up watching this league. Melo, Marcus Hatton, Rudy Gay, Juan Summers. So I'm excited to get out there and feel the energy of the crowd.
I think you were feeling the energy tonight. This was the most emotional I've seen you
as
a coach. Not just you got the tech. But also at the end, there was a bucket when you guys went up six.
Yeah.
Where you came out there celebrating.
Nah.
Like you did when you were a player.
You know, I'm still learning in this league, you know, and, I try to be, you know, even keel throughout the game to make the right decisions at times. But I absolutely got into the energy into this game, you know, and, that's how Shaka is. You know, that's how, so we just had to scratch and claw and find a way.
What happened on the tech?
Devin blocked the shot clean and it was called a foul. And we're fighting for our lives right now.
But it got your team going. Yeah. After the tee, it was 15-6 when you got the tee.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you look up, it's, I think it was 29-20.
Whatever it takes.
It works, right?
Whatever it takes. The boys responded, you know.
This was the best environment we've had so far at the Big East. Like that felt like the Big East tournament. Did it feel like it to you?
Yeah, I wasn't at Seton Hall, St. John's. I watched it earlier. I was expecting that to be a big time atmosphere with two local teams. It felt great. You know, everyone was standing up. Friar Nation, Friar Town, our fans are second to none. They're behind us. They're like me with the Baltimore Orioles. No matter what happens with the Orioles, I love them. I love them. No matter that's our fans. Like, no matter what we do, we suck it up, we let them down. you know, two great games, end our season at home, lose them both, you know, and they don't stop. And that's what you want as a coach. That's what you want as a player. This is a special place.
Everyone talked about Josh Rodero this year.
Yeah.
Everyone talked about Devin Carter, Biggie's player of the year this year.
Yeah.
Jaden Pierre was a guy down the stretch.
Talk to me
about him. How good was he?
He's great. He's a great player, man. And, you know, I'm really wanting him and looking for him, you know, to really stake his claim in this league, you know. This was a great step for him in the right direction, you know, to keep getting better and improving. I'm excited about that. He's a sophomore. Really excited about it.
When did you celebrate more? When you got this win or when you beat him one-on-one so that he would come back to school?
Definitely when I beat him one-on-one to come back to school. You can win games in recruiting. And maybe this was. Maybe we beat Creighton in the Big East tournament back when I didn't beat him. I kicked his butt, you know, so yeah.
You told that story a different way 6 months ago.
Yeah, I let him feel good.
Listen, Kim English, I'm going to let you go get some rest, man, and go rest up. You got a big game coming up tomorrow night.
Congratulations, thanks, Rob. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark. We got the light situation figured out here. You can actually see us now instead of us just sitting here in the dark looking like we're in a closet out of nowhere. But all right, we got 2 minutes, guys. I want to just go right along the panel. Providence, in or out after beating Creighton?
In. I think they're in.
That's it? Just in?
They're in.
Not even a question.
No discussion,
no conversation to be had. See, this is why he gets paid the big bucks.
No. When we look up the landscape of everything, Wake and Pitt, we knew one of them was out in their bubble teams. Mm-hmm. All right, Virginia, I thought they were in. It's no big deal. Villanova losing, I think they're out.
I think that helps.
I think they just got help from the other teams and, you know, that was on the bubble. Them getting this win, it's a quad one win. I think they're in.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think it lines up for them just with some of the other teams falling off tonight in that big win versus Creighton. I think that'll be enough to push them over the top. And obviously they got a chance to, you know, stack another win on that, mm-hmm. on top of that tomorrow because they're still playing. So I think they're in.
They in, Dwight?
Yeah, I mean, I would say they're in for sure. Like you guys said, the rest of the field didn't necessarily do what they were supposed to do, which opens up the opportunity for them. And if they could stack another win tomorrow, then they definitely in for sure. But right now, probably did enough to squeeze their way in there for sure.
We had them as one of our last four in. They were in one of the playing games heading into today's game. And then you go and you beat a Creighton team that is like top 15 in the net, which is on a neutral court, mm-hmm. which is going to be one of the better wins that they had all season long, which is probably the best one that we've seen from any bubble team this season.
Yep.
They're in, man. They're in, and they're probably not even in one of the playing games at this point. Maybe that's kind of overreacting. Like Kimmy himself said in that interview that that the committee is probably looking at the whole picture and not just overreacting like we're going to do, but they're in.
No, the committee is looking at this. When you're on a bubble, this matters.
Yeah, no, it does. Shit. It does. I think Kim was just trying to
he's trying to psych himself.
I'm sure he's going to be nervous either way.
Yeah, right.
He did not look nervous over there, man. He was fired up tonight. Listen, we're going to get to a break. On the other side, we're going to be joined by Jeff Goodman. I don't know if that means you're going to come back, you're going to leave, or what it is, but he's going to be here.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 throughout the conference and NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150, and you'll get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game, and you get $150 in free bets regardless of the outcome. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets for anything that you could possibly imagine betting on in March and in early April. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app, use FIELD150 is the code, and sign up today. And while I've got you here, a quick request. The best way to support the Field of 68 content that you get here for absolutely free is to engage with it. Rate and review the podcast. Like and share YouTube videos. Tell your friends about us. It all helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to our show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark. It is Thursday night. We are live here in the Garden. And as you can see, we have a very special guest with us live from, I don't even know what the arena is in Kansas City, but he's in Kansas City. He's at the Big 12 tournament. His name is Jeff Gooden, and we are bringing him on to talk about the ACC, about Duke losing. That's how exciting the Big 12 tournament was today. Jeff, how concerned are you now, man? Duke lost.
We're not talking about the riveting Big 12 tournament that I've been at, that I almost fell asleep during all four of these games. They were awful.
We were told that because of your misbehavior yesterday at the Big 12 tournament, yeah, that we're not allowed to talk to you about anything that happened in that building tonight.
You know, the only good thing that has happened to me, and actually it didn't happen tonight, I missed the deadline by like 30 seconds. There's a kid that has beers, a table, at the end of the media room, and he gave me beers last night, and I had two of them. I went double fisted on the show last night. Tonight, he told me they closed at 11:30, and I walked back. Scott Drew wouldn't let me go, so I didn't get back till 11:31. So I missed them. So instead, I am drinking a sun-kissed berry lemonade, boys. So cheers. Cheers. Well, listen,
the good news, Duke's, we're in New York City, and yeah, the bars don't close in New York City. So we have an open invite over to Stout. We got our buddies over at Barcade right now. You need to go see Mr. Hot Balls. He was texting me. He's saying that you're scared. You want to see him.
I'll catch up with him. Don't worry about him. I'm worried about Jeff, because the only decent game he had out there was Baylor coming out slow and then finally turning things on against Cincinnati. Other than that, You see Calvin Sampson, you tell him he should be charged with assault for what they did to TCU. That was abusive. That was flat out abusive.
Listen, I'll say this, getting back to what Rob kind of introed about the ACC and certainly Duke losing tonight. Shocking. Shocking. And it, you know, I just kind of finally started to get back on the Duke train again a little bit, right? Filipowski had started to play kind of like the Kyle Filipowski that we wanted to see. Proctor has been a little bit better, more consistent of late. You know what you're going to get, you know, capable of Jared McCain. And then they go out and they lay this egg against NC State. Now, I know Kevin Keats is fighting for his job here, and I'm really happy for him because I hope he saved it with tonight's victory. But I'm worried about Duke. I'm worried just because of the inconsistency with Duke, that they're still in this place. That honestly, I don't think
they're soft.
Yeah, like they are soft.
You can beat them up. You can get physical with them.
Yeah. Well, because Flip's not a five. Flip is not a five. He really wants to be kind of a face-up four. He can go in and do some work. And then defensively, he doesn't give you enough. And he really shouldn't be asked to play the five. The problem they have was they did not go into the portal and get a true five.
my concern with them is they're a different team, right? Defensively, they're not the pressure athletic team. We know they don't have Lively there. I think the biggest concern that they have is their inability to develop a bench all year long. So if in that starting group, if a guy is struggling or isn't playing well, there's no one to help come. Now, they need Caleb Foster back. Mm-hmm. So if Caleb Foster comes back, now that gives you some ability to change things. And I think
you told me, you told me he was their best freshman guard back in November in Champions.
Was it Doster and you?
One game.
No,
but you're right.
What's today's date?
Because he was their best guard, I thought, at getting to the rim. And I still would change that. I think Jeremy Cain is a hell of a shooter. But putting pressure on the rim, I think Caleb Foster is better than him at doing that. And another ball handling decision maker. If you bring him back now, you have the option of bringing, is it Tyrese Proctor off the bench who was playing well in that role? Or having some production. Tonight, they didn't get a single point from the bench. And if you want to make a deep run in March, you're going to have to get some type of bench production. And they don't have that right now. And they're freshmen. They're playing Powell. They started to play Stewart. They couldn't get it done tonight. Ryan Young's never been that guy to give you points. You know, Blake's is coming off. He's more of a defender. They need to get Caleb Foster back if they want to have any shot at making a run in March.
Do they have a shot?
I don't like the looks of it right now. I think they're kind of trending in the wrong direction. And like kind of sort of like RC just spoke to, is just too many unanswered questions when they have an off night or one of those guys don't show up offensively. They don't have that defense that they usually have. We're going to get into you, pick you up 94 feet and still get stops even when we're not shooting the ball great. So I don't like the way they're trending right now. I think they might get picked off early. It might happen.
They're better defensively than but we expect them to be the pressure team, and they're just not. This isn't the athletic. They overwhelm me with athletic. They're in the gaps, you know, kind of stay between you and the basket and then make you take a contested shot. They rebound it. So percentage-wise, they're okay. They just can't generate offense because of that.
That's the difference. They're going to make you take a tough shot as opposed to
turning you over.
Turnover, and scoring out of it.
That was a big part of their team pass.
My biggest thing with them is just I think that you can get physical with them and beat them up a little bit. And
They're not going to push you back.
And they don't really have – I mean, Goodman hit the nail on the head. They don't really have a five. They don't really have that rim protector. They're trying to figure out, can they use Mark Mitchell there? Can they use Filipowski there? And it hasn't really worked. And to be frank, I think – Shire has done a pretty good job getting a team that is kind of a flawed roster to the point where, like, we were legitimately last week talking about them having a chance to make a run to the Final Four. And I wouldn't totally put that out of the question because I think that they do have two game changers, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes when you get into March, all you need is a couple guys that can find a way to make a run. Hey, you want to see something real funny?
Let's do it.
Hey, watch this. You know whose season ended today? Deeks, that was a rough one, man. That was a rough one, RC.
Hey, man, we got so much.
I'm pretty sure their season. Hey, their season ended when they lost to Georgia Tech at home. Pretty much, that's when it is.
Hey, we're in the garden, man. I don't even want to talk about that. Why are we talking about that? We're in the garden, man. Who are we talking about?
No. In all seriousness, all right. So we have. I would say Virginia is probably in at this point, right? Like they needed to avoid a bad loss to play their way out. And I don't think that losing to NC State right now would be a bad enough loss to play their way out.
They're in. It was a must win for them because if had they lost to BC, I think BC keeps them in a bubble. And we already know that Atlantic 10 now, they're going to steal a bid.
Yep.
There's going to be some team Providence is going to be off that bubble kind of going in. You don't want to be that team sliding your way into Dayton playing a dangerous game. This win solidifies it. Virginia, I don't think, has anything to worry about.
I agree. It would have been disastrous if they dropped this one tonight.
It was close, though.
It was very close. Went to overtime, right? I was about to say, it was obviously a Virginia-style, ugly kind of game, but they were able to pull it out, and they're still playing. So right now I think they're safe. So.
Yeah, the thing about the ACC right now, Jeff, is that if you look at the way that we can bring the bracket up here again, if you look at the bracket, there are still two teams left in this tournament that are going to need an automatic bid to be able to get in. Maybe you could convince me that Pitt, if they beat North Carolina, has a chance. I just think with their non-conference resume, they've already dug their hole. But the point is, if Pitt beats North Carolina, which could happen. I mean, you could use it. We'll speak to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
If Pitt beats North Carolina, they could be in. If NC State has a chance, if they beat Virginia, then we could end up having a Big Thief ACC tournament title game, Goodman. How important is it for the bubble teams right now to be rooting against Pitt and NC State?
No, huge, huge. I mean, again, I feel like Carolina is going to win that game, but again, who knows at this point? We just saw Duke, you know, go down and you know, I feel like this time of year, again, like I'm watching Big 12 here, guys. It's like a war of attrition. Everybody's hurt right now. Everybody's hurt in this league tournament. I don't know how it is in some of these other ones, but I feel like it's last team standing. And, you know, generally Houston's going to win that battle here. You know, but yeah, there's so many teams right now. And part of it is the committee. The committee also. What's that?
I said pain does not exist in Kelvin Sampson's program. You're not allowed to feel it.
No, suck it up. Really sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But again, the committee members are watching these games. And you know what? They should be more. I will say that. I know every game kind of is supposed to mean the same amount, and we got rid of the last 10. I would say this, like going forward, I wish the committee would say it publicly that the conference tournaments means more. A game nowadays in a conference tournament should have more value, shouldn't it?
No, I don't think it should, but I think that it will. And I also think that you should value what happens in totality in the conference tournaments more than they do. I mean, how many times have we seen a team go win the SEC tournament title and it not impact their seeding at all because it happened on a Sunday? I do think that those things should matter more than they do, but I don't think it should matter more than a game in November. Because if you're going to start discounting games in November, why are people going to watch the
sport? I'm not discounting. I'm saying this is more meaningful because, first of all, you're talking about a team getting better. A team can get better over the course of the year. And then you're adding, to me, even more importance with a conference tournament. Like, why shouldn't it? You have so much on the line right now. You have the conference tournament, plus then – you have obviously the impact when it comes to the bracket and you know, selection Sunday, just a few days away. I don't know. I just feel like it should be more. It should.
I mean, I think recency bias helps.
It matters because it's a split. You know, you take even we just talked about ACC. You take the Wake and Pitt game. All right, that's the third game of the year. Two teams on the bubble. Yeah. Third game. Whichever one of you lose, it splits. It matters.
You keep saying Wake was on the bubble, like they were on the bubble. Like they didn't already play their way out.
Hey, man, they was on the bubble, man. I don't want to talk about it. Let's go to keep
it. It's a big-ass bubble for RC.
Hey.
Everybody's
to each his own.
Everybody's on the bubble. You should have heard it before. We were talking about he was like Georgetown played their way off the bubble with their loss last night to Providence.
Yeah.
DePaul played their way off the bubble with their loss to Villanova. Listen, speaking of DePaul, we have some news with DePaul that we're going to have to discuss here in just a second. The reason we have Jeff Goodman on is to talk about some of these coaching changes. There's been some movement.
It's true, a little
bit. Randolph, Drell,
we got to ask Jeff some tough questions,
lot,
man. Be ready, Jeff. Get your answers ready, Jeff.
We got a new head coach in the Big
East. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's go.
An opening in the Big 12, and an opening in, well, technically the ACC now because the Pac-12 is dead. That's Stanford. That's coming up next.
By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. This is how the app works. All of the podcasters, bloggers, and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in the Autograph app. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or trying to navigate the safer workspaces on Twitter, you can just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I am a UConn fan, and I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to about UConn basketball. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets to games and the grand prize, a trip to the LA Regional and a spot in a suite for the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. Here's the best part. We've partnered with Autograph to donate $1 to the V Foundation every time someone downloads the app using the code F68. with a minimum of $2,500 getting donated. The app is free. So download, use the code F68, help us raise a little bit of money for cancer research, and give Autograph a try. I promise you it will be worth it. And while we're here, a quick reminder, make sure that you subscribe to The Daily. We have new landing pages with deep dives into each coaching change, as well as a tracker that provides scouting reports on the transfers that have entered the portal that you are going to want to know about. Hit the link below to subscribe. Welcome back to the Thursday evening edition of the Field of 68 After Dark. We are live from Madison Square Garden. We are live from Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. That's where Jeff Goodman is. My name is Rob Doster. I have Jarrell McNeil. I have Randolph Childress. We're live on SiriusXM, channel 84, and we are streaming over on the Stadium app. Make sure you guys go and download that. Jeff, we have some coaching changes and some coaching news that we need to discuss. Vandy opened, Oklahoma State opened, Stanford opened. We are officially in the middle of the coaching carousel, but we're going to start with a guy that got hired. Chris Holtmann, who was let go by Ohio State in the end of January, has now found a new job before Ohio State season has actually come to an end. Ohio State beat Iowa tonight. What do you make of Holtmann? What do you make of DePaul? What do you make of this marriage together, Jeff?
I just talked to Holtmann a little while ago, and he's excited. You can hear it in his voice. Basically, what he was telling me was the challenge of DePaul, that they have been irrelevant for so long, that he's going to take that challenge. They have NIL, they have staff salary. There were certain things that he needed in order to take this job, and they stepped up in that department. Dwayne Peavy, the athletic director, has really been working on this since he let go of Tony Stubblefield and been able to put together a package that would attract a guy like Chris Holtmann, who had success at Butler. And, say what you want. Obviously, he didn't have tournament success at Ohio State, but he did a good job in terms of, for the most part, getting them back after Thad Matta left it in a tough spot.
Goodman, if he does at DePaul what he did at Ohio State, we're going to have to put Chris Holtmann in the Hall of Fame, okay? Jarrell, you are a Chicago guy. You know that city. You know that landscape. How does Holt make this work? Like, how do you get DePaul going again?
I think first of all, it's going to come, like Jeff said, the resources have to be there. I know in years past, they kind of struggled with some NIL stuff and getting it going, but they have I think DePaul is still somewhat of a sleeping giant if you're old enough to kind of know the history of it. Mm-hmm. They have some really
high level to know that these
days. Kind of 100 years old.
I say, yeah. A lot of those people are probably dead by now, but
it's 100 years old.
But it's still there. They got to find a way to kind of fill in and reinvigorate their fan base. They got a new gym. It's still on the other side of town, which is the dumbest thing ever, but it's much better than the old dump that they used to play in up north. But I know there's a ton of Chicago people out there that aren't happy about it. It's hard to make Chicago people happy about anything. So I'm sure they all wanted a home guy that was from Chicago or a young up-and-coming coach. But listen, I think they got a really good experienced guy, a guy who's familiar with the terrain as well in the Big East, and he's proven that he can do it. So if he's got the resources, he'll have a shot.
Yeah, just quick follow-up. You work with an AAU program.
Yep.
You work with high school kids that are in that area.
Yep.
That Holtmann is going to be trying to recruit. Would you be sending your players there? Would you be recommending them to go end up and go play for?
I'll give them a year or two, and it's a possibility. It'll be hard, especially with my Marquette ties, to ever say it really, get behind that fully, but I won't rule it out. The person that's at the head of the job is going to be a big factor in that. Like, if it's somebody that you could trust and you see the program is moving along in the right direction, then I had no problem saying to one of my kids, hey, it's all right to stay home, it's okay to stay home. But right now it's a lot of openings in Illinois. We got Southern, where we just filled DePaul, and we got UIC too. So
it's cold as hell there, man. Them kids trying to get the hell out of there. Man, they ain't trying to stick around there. Tell them, Jeff, they ain't nobody sticking around there. They froze their ass off through high school. They trying to go to college and get some
heat. Listen, well, that's the thing. To get them back, the key is actually through the portal. Can Chris Holtmann try to navigate the portal and get some kids that maybe left Chicago, RC, and maybe aren't playing as much, want an expanded role, and can come back and be a guy. The hard part for like Ed Cooley this year at Georgetown, the hardest part talking to him was he had some money for NIL. But when you don't have a roster with good players to start, how do you attract good players? That's the most difficult thing for Cooley, for Holtman, for some of these other guys who take over situations that are brutal, that are just absolutely – I mean, Georgetown, Ewing, look at how he left it. Stubbs, look at how he left it. They are at the absolute bottom. It is hard to attract good players. You're going to have to overpay in the portal.
All right. We just talked about Holtman. Let's talk about his old job, Ohio State. Jake Diebler has won 6 out of 7 there.
Come on, Jeff.
Randolph. And he's in we talked about this a little bit earlier.
We
argued about this a little bit earlier.
Put Jeff in the spot.
You do that first. Then we'll go to my
question. I think he's earned. I asked you this before via text a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Has your answer changed now?
Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. How many times do you want me to say? No.
Jake Diebler, the interim head coach, has won 6 out of 7, and Jeff Goodman is saying that hell no, he doesn't get a shot at the job.
So, Jeff, he turned around a team where the coach get let go, and he gets another job before their season is finished, and they're still playing, and you're telling me hell no? Yeah. Like, he should at least be at the table for a serious consideration at least, right?
I'll give him a meal at the table. I'll give him a meal at the table, and that's fine. But I'm not giving him
Jeff?
Filet mignon at the table.
I'm
hiring the dude.
Who's the guy we giving the job to?
I'm hiring the dude.
They don't care about foot basketball anyway. Who getting the job, Jeff?
I'm giving the job to the dude that went to the Final Four last year. That's who I'm giving the job to, Dusty May. Okay. Not the guy who's won 6 or 7. And was a part of the staff when they were struggling and was a part of the previous staff at Vandy. Like, I like Jake Diebler. I'll give him – you know what I'll give him? I'll give him Pepperdine. That's what I'll give him. I'll give him that view in Malibu, and I'm going to give him Pepperdine.
Okay.
Hey, look, you know what? I'm ceding control of the show to Randolph because Randolph is now going to press you on all the jobs that are open. Start Vanderbilt.
Let's go with Vandy. Who we got?
All right, so Vandy, our boy Chris Mack, he may leave the list right now. Yeah, our former coworker, we're going to lose him. I think we're going to lose him here in the coaching carousel. And
I don't think he's coming back.
We bailed.
I don't think he's coming back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe you never know. You never know. But I think, listen, Mack's got his daughter is a volleyball player who's going to Vandy next year.
Yeah.
It's a great place to live. Look at Mack's resume. It's better than anybody else you could put out there. And people forget that. They forget because of how it ended at Louisville RC. That resume was ridiculous at Xavier and even the first couple of years at Louisville till the Dino Gaudio fiasco.
Yeah, it was
You want some other names?
I don't know. Is anybody – I think he's a front runner. Would there be another guy for it?
I mean, the other guys that I've been told are in the equation. Josh Yurtz, Indiana State, Kyle Smith, Washington State, Pat Kelsey, College of Charleston.
Now, are they putting some money behind this the way DePaul is? Because Vandy, say what we want, Vandy has been a high academic school and hadn't really given much with the transfer portal and all that. Is that going to change too?
Plenty of money down there in Nashville, RC. Plenty of country music money. So, yeah, if whoever the head coach is, better be a country music fan. it wasn't that much. So, we don't know what Stack's going to actually walk away with yet. There's conflicting information there. Some people are saying it's as high as $22, $23 million. I'm not quite buying that yet. So, let's do some more due diligence before we start putting that number out there.
All right. So Oklahoma State, Mike Boynton, sad to see him go. I'm a big fan of Mike Boynton.
Yeah.
That's a very different job. Vandy and Stanford, I think you're going to kind of be fishing in the same pond, so to speak, right? You're going to kind of have the same high academic, maybe can't take all the transfers, same kind of pool there.
Vandy can get State transfers lead. Now. Guys, Vandy can actually get transfers now. So it opens it up a little bit. It's a more attractive job than it was a couple of years ago. Stanford, while we're on there, then I'll go to Oklahoma State. It is a similar list. Kyle Smith will be on both lists. But I think, you know, you're probably talking Russell Turner, Mitch Henderson on Stanford's list a little bit. Russ Turner was at Stanford before his assistant.
Can we get James Jones on there?
Yeah, he should be. He should be, and maybe he gets in the mix as well because he's done a hell of a job at Yale. Oklahoma State, it's still a little early here. Harder to get good information right now. I would anticipate, again, you know, are they going to pay enough to get a big boy? You know, a lot of people think Buzz Williams could try to get that, could try to get out of Texas A&M. Now, they had a big win today. That probably puts him maybe on the right side of the NCAA tournament bubble. We'll see. He's gone once so far in his tenure. Yeah, Jarrell's looking at me over there. He's giving me the eagle eye.
Jeff, about the right side of the bubble for Texas A&M. We'll talk about that.
Jeff, I want to ask you one guy I'm a huge fan of that I want to know why a bigger school would come after, and that's Amir Abdul-Rahim.
Yeah, I think he could be in the mix, but the problem with Amir is obviously – down south is probably where he's going to be stronger. Oklahoma State. Now, again, you can go out of region now a whole lot easier with the portal. You can. Well, I think you're looking at Vandy and saying maybe, but it's more probably an academic school. Mac was at Wake, which we know had an academic component to it. Probably fits a little bit different than where Amir's been. And Amir's done it again. 1 year at South Florida at this point compared to Mac, who's done it a long period of time at Vandy. Oklahoma State should look at Amir. They should. I think that is a spot that they're not going to get a guy necessarily that's a Midwest guy. I would think, again, a Buzz will try, maybe a Pat Kelsey, a Bryce Drew, Preston Spradlin at Morehead State, Josh Schertz, Darren DeVries is somebody that needs more love. What he's done, gone to three tournaments now, at Drake, why he's not getting more is beyond me. I think he'll be in the mix at Oklahoma State. Here's a name that I like, guys. I don't know if he'll be in the mix, but if I'm Oklahoma State, here's a guy that I think fits it extremely well, and it's not Doug Gottlieb, who I love, and I hope Doug gets a chance there, but I don't know. He's got no coaching experience. Chris Jans, Mississippi State, I think would be a perfect guy to be in the top five. I don't know if he gets it. I'm just saying, if I'm the AD, I'm looking at Chris Jans and saying, you know what? He's got them on the right side of the bubble at Mississippi State, did a great job at New Mexico State. I think he can do a pretty good job with low resources at Oklahoma State.
Last one I got for you, West Virginia. It feels like that search has gone kind of quiet.
They should have their guy. It's been open all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Ren Baker, I talked to him the other day. He's very, very close to the vest with kind of what he's doing right now. But I think you're talking about guys like, you know, Mark Byington, Dustin Kearns at App State. Byington obviously has done a great job at James Madison this year. I think you're talking, you know, maybe a Darren DeVries. Kelsey could be in the mix there. I don't know why you'd leave Charleston to go to Morgantown, West Virginia. I certainly wouldn't. Our city, shout out to our city. But I think, again, Ren Baker is a guy that's going to look – he's not going to take a chance and roll the dice, just like Louisville with Josh Hurd. He's not going to go after a guy who's got some baggage, the Chris Beards, the Sean Millers, the Will Wades. Those guys aren't going to be in the equation, in my opinion, at Louisville or West Virginia.
Let's talk about for a second, because he just took McNeese State to the NCAA tournament. Is he, because of all the NCAA stuff, that he hasn't been higher on some of these lists? Because that's a little bit surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, again, Louisville, not going to happen. The Louisville AD, you got to remember, came from Villanova. He watched Jay Wright. Like, he wants culture. He wants culture and a different type of culture than we're talking. Will Wade, if I'm Oklahoma State, if I'm West Virginia, I would hire him. I would hire him. But I don't think they will. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to. It might take one more year for Will Wade. And I've talked to Will Wade about this. He's happy at McNeese for another year. His buyout's low. You can get him now. But I'm telling you, he's not in a rush to get out of there right now. He's fine with doing another year or two for Heath Shore or the AD at McNeese.
Yeah, he seems very confident about what he has coming back and what he's going to be able to do in the portal this year. And he basically said, look out, last time I talked to him, Jeff. So, that'll be one of the interesting guys to look out for. All right, we need to talk more about the bubble. We need to talk a little bit about the Big 12. And we got to get to the Mountain West. It was crazy in the Mountain West. We're going to finish up the show here. I think Jeff is going to leave us so we can go sit there and drink his Diet Sunkist grapefruit seltzer.
Berry spray, lemon.
Whatever it is. He's going to go drink that in peace. Nice. We're going to talk bubble when we get back.
There is nothing better in sports than tournament time, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college basketball. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every single Division I game every single day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. If you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description and download Rhythm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks. And while we're here, let me tell you about our newest partner for the month of March, Splash Sports, the home of certified community competition, where you get to play against your friends and not the house. Whatever game it is that you are playing, from Survivors to Tears to Pick X, the safest way to play for real money without the hassle of having to track down deposits or worry about payments is through Splash. They have partnered with PaySafe, the best deposit and payment system in the world, to ensure that money stays in safe hands and is delivered to the right places. To join the Field of 68 Survivor Madness, click the link in our profile below and join in. Entries are $5 a pop with a prize pool of up to $4,500. Winner take all. Join Splash and come prove that you're smarter than us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Thursday evening edition of the Field of 68 After Dark, live from Madison Square Garden. We finally got rid of that guy out in Kansas City, that Big 12 homer that didn't talk about one Big 12 game the entire time that he was on. Jarrell, do you have my back on this? Rob Dawson, Jarrell McNeil, Randolph Childress, I probably should do that. We're live on SiriusXM. We're live on the Stadium app. I'm saying Ohio State should get a very real look at being in the NCAA tournament. I'm saying this idea that they can't be on the right side of the bubble right now is ludicrous. They have a win over Purdue at home. They beat Alabama on a neutral. They won at Michigan State. They're 3-6 against quad ones. They do have a quad three loss, but I think that this run that they've made, they've won 6 out of the last 7. They beat Purdue. They beat Alabama on a neutral. That's 2 top 10 wins, Jarrell.
I don't think it's that crazy. But I don't think they're on the bubble yet.
We got Illinois.
I think they get to the championship game. It's a realistic conversation. Look, Michigan State.
I'm sick.
I'm just making sure Rob ain't have a fever. Go ahead.
I'm sick.
They're saying Michigan State is in. I find it hard to believe they make it to the championship game. That is, it's at least not a realistic conversation. Obviously, it's going. They're probably going to need some help from some other teams and some other things to kind of break their way with some of these other conference tournaments. But, I mean, they've played well of late, but they were very unimpressive throughout the course of the season, especially around the middle third of the season. So, dude, but I don't think you're completely crazy, Rob. I'll say that.
Beat Illinois. They beat Illinois tomorrow. I just want to know what Jake Diebler's got to do to be able to get in the tournament so Jeff Goodman will let him sit at the table and at least get an interview.
You know, I said he deserved that.
Oh, no, we're talking to Jeff here. We're sending the shade at Jeff here.
Well, just pile on with Jeff then. I'm all for piling on with Jeff. No, I they got to win it. And I think what they're fighting is just the circumstances of what happened. is really, I think, what they're fighting. Having fired their coach, they seem like you don't even consider him. But if you would, if Holtmann was still there.
Hold on. Spin zone. Spin zone.
Go ahead.
Spin zone. So if we got to evaluate what a team is if after an injury, right? Like, let's take Providence.
Yes.
Bryce Hopkins. We got to evaluate him after the injury. Yep. Don't we have to evaluate Ohio State after Holtmann's gone? Now they're 6-1.
I don't even know why anybody has said that, right? I don't know why anybody said that. Like,
they
might
be a top 10 team.
You go off of what was done and what they've done all year long.
See, now he's changing it up.
No, I'm saying
now
for
me. He's switching it up on us.
But for your analogy, I agree. But
all right, one more question for you. If it was anyone other than me that would have said, is Ohio State in, would you have agreed with them?
No.
Are you just arguing with me? No,
this before. I've said, now, you know, I've been advocating. I've said he deserved an interview. Mm-hmm. I think it says something. And we've seen it this year. We've seen it at Charlotte when there's been change and then you put an interim guy in there and they respond. Mm-hmm. Something is and I say this. How can that particular situation happen? And this is nothing against Chris Holtmann because, you know, I advocated for him earlier in the year. Before the change was made, and rightfully, right or wrong, the change was made. But this team has responded.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, beating Purdue, they have completely flipped something that has to count for something. And because everybody else views Ohio State as this great job, that guy has turned around a crappy situation that has you winning 6 of 7. Like, you have to strongly consider giving him this job. Now you interview him for it and you do all that. If you feel the desire to need, or do you feel like you got to go out and get somebody else just a sexier name to win the press conference? Like, that man has shown you live experience on the job, difficult situations from the jump, and won 6 of the last 7 and playing them to what? How far are they going into the conference tournament? I think something has to be said for that. It's not an easy thing to do.
Here's what I'll say, and tell me what you think about this, Jarrell. I think what you do is you put him on the – like, you got to put him on the list. You got to interview him. You got to give him a real shot, too.
Then my question, can't you give him a year?
No, because I think
what recruiting will kill you.
I think what you – yeah. You,
recruiting
you
will
be,
kill
you. Recruit. Yeah. And also, if you can go out and get Dusty May, if you go out – doesn't have to – I'm just going to throw the name. Let's say that Dusty May is the guy – that the AD believes is going to be the one that turns Ohio State into a top 10 program again. If you're going to get the new Thad Matta and you think you got that guy, then you have to go get him. There's no question about it. But I think that you have to make sure that Jake Diebler is at least in the conversation and give him a shot. Bring him in the interview. Let him try to wow you.
I don't disagree with that. I think if it's a guy out there and you believe like he's obtainable, that we can put together a package that can get
you
him
better. In
the building, mm-hmm. You go after it. But either way, like both of y'all said, like just out of pure respect, that guy has to get an interview and he has to be a serious, like they have this, like the team that I saw prior to him taking over, it was a different team. And even mm-hmm. in the games that they lost, they didn't win all of them, but the games that they lost, the way that those guys competed, the way that they played for each other, you know, he gave him a great spark. And
they're still playing.
It's never easy to do that.
No, hell no.
That is so, like, I just want people to process this. Chris Holtmann parts ways with Ohio State. They are still playing. They might get into the NCAA tournament, and he's already got another job.
That's crazy. And how that looks. And I also say, people always say, oh, you're on the staff, you're part of the problem. It's a different leadership.
It is.
It's a completely different leadership with a different person. Obviously, these kids are responding to him. They responded to this in a way that they didn't respond to Chris. That says something about this guy. So I think he's earned a legitimate shot. Now, if you have a guy, you better be damn sure about that guy that you're bringing in, because you got a guy on campus right now that's showing you he can get it done. And I just if he doesn't get the job, he's shown me at least at another school, mid-major job, or somewhere else,
absolutely,
that he can lead a program. So right. I'm a fan.
Here's another one I got for you. Texas A&M. Let's go through this resume real quick, okay? They are currently, as things stand, 5-6 against quad one opponents. They are overall 12-9 against the top two quadrants. They have 4 quad three losses. They have played 21 games against the top two quadrants, and they have won 12 of those games. They have beaten Tennessee. They have beaten Iowa State on a neutral. They beat Kentucky at home, and they have wins at Ohio State and at SMU. They beat Florida. They beat Mississippi State. Are they in the tournament with four quad three losses?
I say no. I think – I don't think Texas A&M is in right now. Sad as it sounds, they obviously have – the amount of quality wins and
they got 13 losses, man. They're gonna have 14 on Selection Sunday,
and it's some bad ones.
That's what I was gonna say. You talk about their wins. Let's talk about the losses.
It's about the Ole Miss at home, LSU at home, Arkansas at home, at Vanderbilt.
I'm sorry, but look, you can't.
That's not their bad losses. You can't. That's their conference losses.
But that's their worst losses. Yeah, and then they got Memphis. That's their worst loss. That's where you're going. Okay, I see. Listen, I don't think that you can put this team in over Indiana State. That is my biggest problem. I'm going to die on that hill. I'm not going to go on that rant again because last time I did, I got in trouble with Sirius XM. We got 10 seconds each here. Give me your toast of the night.
My toast of the night goes to Cam Jones. Easy choice for me, man. Going into it, obviously, a little bit disrespected, not getting honored for the Big East. He's been great since Kolick has gone down, man. He's showing a lot of maturity, and the team has really been leaning on him, so he's been impressive. My toast of the night goes to Cam.
Toast of the night.
Cam English and the Providence Friars. Just what he did to get himself going, man, willed his team in, got the tech, got his team going. They're playing themselves in it.
Celebrated like a walk-on, too.
Did.
Celebrated like a walk-on. The greatest
and you're or you still suck.
My toast tonight is going to Jaden Pierre, is a guy that's been kind of written off. We said that this Providence team was a two-man team. He was fantastic tonight. The reason they beat Creighton is because of his ability to beat that coverage. Listen, this has been the Field of 68 After Dark. We're here at the Garden, all no place that you would rather be than here with us every night talking about conference tournament week.